ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवतीर्वुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकीनन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। रीडिङ्ग् फ्रम् श्रीमद् भागवतम् केण्टो 10 चाप्टर् 78 एण्टैटल्ड् द किल्लिङ्ग् आफ् दण्टवक्र अण्ड् रोमहर्षण टेक्स्ट् नम्बर् 16। एवं योगेश्वर कृष्णो भगवान् जगदीश्वरः ईयते पशुदृष्टिना निर्जितो जयतीति सः। एवं योगेश्वर कृष्णो भगवान् जगदीश्वरः ईयते पशुदृष्टीनां निर्जितो जयतीति सः। एवं योगेश्वर कृष्णो भगवान् जगदीश्वरः ईयते पशुदृष्टीनां निर्जितो जयतीति सः। निर्जितो जयतीति सः। एवं योगेश्वर कृष्णो भगवान् जगदीश्वरः ईयते पशुदृष्टिना योगेश्वर कृष्णो भगवान् जगदीश्वरः माताजि एवं योगेश्वर कृष्णो भगवान् जगदीश्वरः निर्जितो जयतीति सः। वर्ड् टु वर्ड् ट्रान्स्लेशन्। एवम् इन् दिस् फ्याशन् योग आफ् मिस्टिक् योग ईश्वर द लार्ड् कृष्ण Krishna, Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, Jagat, of the universe, Ishwarah, the Lord, Iyate, seems, Pashu, like animals, Drishtinam, to those whose sight, Nirjitah, defeated, Jayati, is victorious, इति एज इफ सह ही। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय द डिसिपल्स ऑफ श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन तस लॉर्ड कृष्ण द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड द मास्टर ऑफ ऑल मिस्टिक पावर एंड द लॉर्ड ऑफ द यूनिवर्स इज एवर विक्टोरियस। ओनली दोज ऑफ बीसली विजन think he sometimes suffers defeat. So I was told to read the second part of the purport. In the same section of the Padma Puran, these statements follow. Krishnopi tam hatva yamunam uttirya nandavrajam gatva satkantau pitarav abhivadyashvasya tabhyam shashushrekam alingata sakala gopa vriddhan pranamya bahuvastra baranadibhyas tatastan santarpayamasa. And after killing him, Vidurata, Krishna crossed the Yamuna and went to the cowherd village of Nanda, where he honored and consoled his aggrieved parents. They drenched him with tears and embraced him, and then the Lord offered obeisances to the elder cowherd men and gratified all the residents with abundant gifts of clothing, ornaments and so on. Kalindya pulane ramye punya vriksha samachite Gopa Nari Biranisham Kridayam Asa Keshavaha. Lord Keshava sported continuously with the cowherd women on the Kalindi's charming bank, which was filled with pious trees, that the Supreme Lord, assuming the appearance of a cowherd, resided there for 2 months, enjoying the pleasure of intimate pastimes in various moods of loving reciprocation. Then by Lord Vasudeva's grace, Nanda and all the other residents of that place, together with their children and wives, assumed their eternal spiritual forms, boarded a celestial airplane and ascended to the supreme Vaikuntha planet, Goloka Vrindavan. Lord Krishna, however, after bestowing on Nanda Gopa and all the other cowherd, all the other inhabitants of Raja, his own transcendental abode, which is free of all disease, travelled through the sky and returned to Dwaraka as demigods chanted his praises. Srila Rupa Goswami comments as follows on this passage in his Laghu Bhagavatamrita. Since Drona and other demigods had previously descended to earth to merge as partial expansions into the king of Raja and other devotees of Vrindavan, at this time it was these demigod expansions whom Lord Krishna sent off to Vaikuntha. Lord Hari is perpetually enjoying pastimes in Vrindavan with his intimate devotees, the residents of Gokul, who are dearer to him than even his most dear other devotees. In the passage of the Padma Puran, the word Putra in the phrase Nanda Gopadaya Sarve Jana Putra Dharadi Sahita refers to such sons as Krishna, Sridhama and Subala, while the word Dara refers to such wives as Sri Yashoda and Kirtida, the mother of Radharani. The phrase Sarve Jana refers to everyone living in the district of Raja. Thus, they all went to the topmost Vaikuntha planet Goloka. The phrase Divya Rupa Dara indicates that in Goloka, they engage in pastimes appropriate to demigods, not those suited to humans as in Gokul. Just as during Lord Ram's incarnation, the residents of Ayodhya were transported to Vaikuntha in their self-same bodies, so in this incarnation of Krishna, the residents of Vrindavan attained to Goloka in theirs. Lord Krishna's journey from Dwaraka to Vrindavan is confirmed by the following passage in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1.11.9. O lotus-eyed Lord, wherever you go away to Mathura, whenever you go away to Mathura, Vrindavan or Hastinapur, to meet your friends and relatives, every moment of your absence seems like a million years. Lord Krishna had been harboring a desire to go see his friends and relatives in Vrindavan ever since Lord Baladeva had gone there, but his mother, father and other elders in Dwaraka had refused to give him permission. Now, however, after the killing of Shalva, when Krishna heard from Narada that Dantavakra had gone to Mathura, no one could object to the Lord's going there immediately without first entering Dwaraka. And after killing Dantavakra, he would have the opportunity to meet with his friends and relatives living in Vrindavan. Thinking like this and also remembering Uddhava's allusion to the gopis in the words Gayanti Te Vishada Karma, he went to Vrindavan, dispelling the feelings of separation of the inhabitants. For 2 months, Lord Krishna enjoyed in Vrindavan just as before, previous to his leaving there to kill Kamsa in Mathura. Then at the end of the 2 months, he withdrew his Vrindavan pastimes from mundane eyes by taking the demigod portions of his parents and other relatives and friends to Vaikuntha. Thus in one complete plenary manifestation, he went to Goloka in the spiritual world. In another, he remained perpetually enjoying in Vrindavan while invisible to material eyes. And in yet another, he mounted his chariot and returned alone to Dwaraka. The people of Shaurasena province thought that after killing Dantavakra, Krishna had paid a visit to his parents and other dear ones and now was returning to Dwaraka. The people of Vrindavan, on the other hand, could not understand where he had suddenly disappeared to, and so they were totally astonished. Furthermore, Shukadev considered that Parishit Maharaj might think, how is it that the same Krishna who caused the cowherds to attain Vaikuntha in their self-same bodies also caused the residents of Dwaraka to attain such an inauspicious condition in the course of his Mausha Leela? Thus the king might consider the arrangement unfair because of his own affinity for the Yadus. That is why Shukadeva Goswami did not allow him to hear this pastime, which, as mentioned above, is related in the Uttarakhand of Sri Padma Puran. In Sri Vaishnava Toshni, Sanatana Goswami's commentary in the 10th canto, we find the following sequential list of pastimes. First was the journey on the occasion of the solar eclipse, then the Rajasuya assembly, then the gambling match and attempted disrobing of Draupadi, then the Pandavas exiled to the forest, then the killing of Shalva and Dantavakra, then Krishna's visit to Vrindavan, and finally the winding up of the Vrindavan pastimes. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namavo Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshnaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pashati Deshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Kadada Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare. So we are reading from 10th Canto, 78th chapter, the killing of Dantavakra and Romaharshan. Of course, last 2 days, on Saturday and Sunday, His Holiness Devamrit Swami Maharaj and His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj elaborately described these things. So mostly whatever I am going to speak is, I'll be repeating basically what they have spoken, and I'll just try to explain the same purport which is described by Hridayan Das Goswami Maharaj here. So, when in the Srimad Bhagavatam, although in this chapter describes the Krishna killing Dantavakra and Romaharshan, but this pastime actually took place later than some of the events which are described in the later chapters. Like, for example, in the 82nd chapter describes Krishna's meeting the Brajavasis in Kurukshetra during the solar eclipse. Although this chapter comes later, 82nd, 83rd, but actually this event took place before even the Rajasuya sacrifice. Rajasuya sacrifice was described in 72nd, 73rd, 74th chapter. But first actually Krishna met the residents of Vrindavan in the Kurukshetra, because when you read that description, the Pandavas and the Kauravas, they all came together. They were actually behaving in a friendly manner. Bhishma was present. So that means that event took place much before the Kurukshetra war. Then after that event comes the Rajasuya sacrifice. In the Rajasuya sacrifice, when Krishna came to participate in the Rajasuya sacrifice, and then before the Rajasuya sacrifice, Krishna killed Jarasandha through Bhima. Then after that, Yudhishthira Maharaj performed the Rajasuya sacrifice. Then when Krishna was in Indraprastha, So that time he could see the inauspicious omens, and he could understand that there is something, some demons are attacking Dwarka city. So when he could actually understand that, then immediately he took leave of the Pandavas in Indraprastha, and then he immediately came to Dwarka. And in fact, it's explained that when Krishna had come to Indraprastha, the Vrajavasis were actually expecting that Krishna would come, would pay a visit to them in Vrindavan after completing the Rajasya sacrifice. But to their surprise, Krishna suddenly returned to Dwarka. So all the hopes of the Vrajavasis were completely shattered when they came to know that Krishna had actually gone back to Dwarka. And when Krishna, Krishna and all the queens, they traveled day and night and they reached Dwarka on the 27th day of the battle which was going on between Shalva and Pradyumna. So Shalva had attacked Dwarka with his special kind of airship called as Shauba. So with the Shauba airship, he actually attacked Dwarka, and the battle was going on very severely. And Krishna reached Dwarka on the 27th day. And as soon as he reached Dwarka, so Krishna told Balramji to guard, he stationed Balramji in an important place, and then he told Balramji to guard Dwarka. And then through a secret tunnel, he actually sent the queens to a secure place within the Dwarka city. And then Krishna started actually fighting with Shalva. The first thing he did was that Krishna actually destroyed the Shauba airship. And then immediately after destroying the Shauba airship, and then he actually cut off the head of Shalva with his chakra. Bone, arrows are with his chakra. So then, when Krishna killed Shalva, then all the Dwarkavasis were so jubilant because the battle was going on for such a long time, and they were actually, the Dwarkavasis actually were fearful. When Krishna killed Shalva, then Dwarkavasis became so happy, and then they started showering flowers upon Krishna, and Krishna was now about to enter Dwarka city. And when Krishna was about to enter Dwarka city, so at that time, Narada Muni comes and tells Krishna that Dantavakra is challenging you for a battle at the gates of Mathura. So Maharaj explained that how Narada Muni traveled at the speed of mind to reach Dwarka. And then he conveyed this message. So then Krishna, when he heard this message, Krishna, without entering Dwarka, Krishna at the speed of the mind, immediately he reached the gates of Mathura in order to actually fight with Dantavakra. And it's explained by the Acharyas, Dantavakra actually chose to fight with Krishna with his club. And he wanted to fight with Krishna at the gates of Mathura. So the Acharya is explaining what are the reason behind it. So Dantavakra was thinking that when Krishna went to meet Jarasandha, that Krishna told Bhima to fight with Jarasandha. So he was thinking that Krishna must be thinking, oh, I am not so good in actually club fighting. So if I fight with Jarasandha using club, then I will get defeated. So let me tell Bhima to fight with club. So Dantavakra, he had his own calculation that he was thinking that Krishna's weak point was actually his club. So therefore Dantavakra chose to actually fight with Krishna with a club, thinking that he can actually easily defeat Krishna. And Dantavakra chose to fight Krishna, he challenged Krishna at the gates of Mathura, because Dantavakra was thinking that if I actually challenge Krishna in Dwarka or in Indraprastha, Krishna has many other friends who will also come to assist Krishna in the battle against me. So let me challenge at the gates of Mathura so that nobody else will come to assist Krishna. So with this calculation, Dantavakra challenged Krishna at the gates of Mathura. So when Krishna came to fight with Dantavakra, and Krishna started fighting with Dantavakra with a club, and the fight was actually going on for some time. But actually, although Krishna came to fight with Dantavakra, the internal reason for why Krishna actually came to fight with Dantavakra was that Krishna was thinking that I will use this as an excuse for meeting the residents of Vrindavan. I will use this reason of fighting with Dantavakra as an excuse for meeting the residents of Vrindavan. So therefore Krishna came so fast, and when he was fighting with Dantavakra, what was there in his mind was that when this fight will end, and so that I can meet the residents of Vrindavan. So if you remember in the Jayan Vijay pastime, the Jayan Vijay, they were cursed by the four Kumaras to take birth as the demons for three lifetimes. So one of the reason for this pastime to take place is that Lord Vishnu wanted to enjoy Viryaras. He wanted to enjoy chivalrous pastime. So therefore, he arranged for the pastime to take place. So the same Jay and Vijay, they appeared as Shishupal and Dantavakra. Dantavakra is one of that person. But when Krishna was fighting with Dantavakra, so one of the reason for the Jay and Vijay come is actually so that Krishna can enjoy chivalrous pastimes. But when Krishna was fighting with Dantavakra, his eagerness for meeting the residents of Vrindavan, that was higher than eagerness for enjoying the chivalrous rasa. So therefore, although he could have actually continued the fight for more time, so that he could enjoy more viryaras, but he quickly winded up that fight. He actually quickly killed Dantavakra, so that he can actually go and meet the residents of Vrindavan. So it is described that when Krishna, after killing Dantavakra, he came to Vishram Ghat in Mathura, and then he took rest for some time, and he offered obeisances to Yamuna Devi, and then he started proceeding towards Vrindavan. Now when he was proceeding towards Vrindavan, Krishna was thinking that, but I cannot enter Vrindavan in my kingly clothes, in this kingly ornaments, because this is not suitable to the mood of Vrindavan. So when he was thinking like that time Daruka approached Krishna with the dress which is suitable for Krishna to enter Vrindavan. So Daruka came with the dress of a cowherd boy, and he brought the gunja berries and peacock feather and the forest flowers and the garlands made of the different the forest flowers of Vrindavan. So when Krishna saw all these dresses, he was like wondering, like, where did Daruka actually get this, like, these ornaments of Vrindavan? That time Daruka said that actually long before Uddhava had made these dresses for you to actually wear these dresses and enter Vrindavan. When Daruka said this, so Krishna actually appreciated. So Uddhava actually knows my heart, and he appreciated Uddhava's feelings, and then Krishna wore the dress and then entered Vrindavan. So this topic of Krishna entering Vrindavan, this topic is actually discussed by different acharyas. We'll just try to focus on this particular topic of Krishna entering Vrindavan. So Krishna had made promise three times that he will actually return to Vrindavan. That once when Krishna was actually leaving from Vrindavan, when Akrura was actually taking Krishna and Balram to Mathura, so at that time the gopis were actually following behind the chariot of Akrura. That time Krishna had promised the gopis and the Vrajavasis that I will return to Vrindavan. And second time, after killing Kamsa, because Nanda Maharaj and some other cowherd men, they had actually accompanied Krishna and Balram to Mathura through a different route. They came separately. After killing Kamsa, they expected that Krishna and Balram would actually return to Vrindavan. So by the time Krishna Balram told Nanda Maharaj that I will return to Vrindavan later, I will come to actually stay with you, but right now I will have to kill some demons, I want to spend some time with in Mathura with Vasudev and Devaki. So this is the second time Krishna made a promise to Nanda Maharaj that I will return to Vrindavan. And the third time Krishna made a promise to the Vrajavasis through Uddhava. When Uddhava visited Vrindavan, Uddhava told the Vrajavasis that Krishna will return to Vrindavan. So in this way, three times Krishna had made a promise. Two times Krishna made a promise personally and once through Uddhava. And when we discuss about this topic of Krishna returning to Vrindavan, so there are different, like the acharyas give different reasons by which we can understand Krishna did return to Vrindavan. So one of the reason which they give is that the devotees have faith that Krishna returned to Vrindavan because they have faith in the integrity of the personality of Krishna. They have faith in the qualities of Krishna. Like for example, in the Rupa Goswami describes 64 qualities of Krishna. There are so many qualities of Krishna by which we can understand that Krishna must have returned to Vrindavan. Like for example, Krishna is compassionate. Krishna is gentle in nature. He is a protector of the surrendered souls. And he is all honorable. And he is conquered by love. And he is truthful. So these are the qualities, by these qualities we can understand that how can actually Krishna will cheat his devotees. For example, when you take the quality of Krishna's quality of being truthful, that means Rupa Goswami gives a definition, truthful person is one who never speaks a lie. And for that he gives an example that once Queen Kunti told Krishna, after the battle of Kurukshetra, Queen Kunti told Krishna, that before the battle, you promised me that you will bring back all my 5 sons. And exactly according to your promise, you have actually brought back all my 5 sons after the battle of Kurukshetra. And then Queen Kunti said that even the sun may lose its quality of giving warmth. And even the snow may lose its quality of providing coolness, or the moon may lose its quality of providing coolness, but you will never actually break your promise. And another instance, Rupa Goswami says that when Krishna, along with Arjuna and Bhima, when he went to meet Jarasandha, being disguised as Brahmanas, so Krishna told Jarasandha that actually I am Krishna. Krishna was disguised as a Brahmana, but Krishna told Jarasandha that actually I am not a Brahmana, I am actually Krishna. We have come here to fight with you. So Rupa Goswami quotes this incident to show that how Krishna was truthful even to his enemy and he declared his identity. And in fact, one of the name of Krishna is called as Satya. Satyam Param Dhimahi. That's what the first verse of the Bhagavatam says. And the 10th canto, when the demigods offer prayer to Krishna, they speak this verse that Satya Varatam Satya Param Trisatyam Satyasya Satyam Nihitam Cha Satye. What's the next line? Satyasya Satyam Rita Satya Netram Satyatmakam Tvam Sharanam Prapanna. So the demigods, when they offer this prayer, Satya Vratam, that means you never actually break your vows. You are always fixed in the vows which you have taken. Satya Param, you are the supreme truth. And Satyasya Yonim Nihitam Cha Satya, you are the source of all the relative truths. And Satyasya Satyam Rita Satya Netram. So you are the active principle, the real truth in all the ingredients of creation, and therefore you are known as Antaryami. So in this particular verse, Krishna is actually described by the word Satya by the demigods. And Vishnu Chakravartakur quotes a very beautiful verse, I guess from Mahabharata. And he, just to describe this Krishna's quality of being truthful, he says, he quotes a verse that Satye Pratishtita Krishna. That means Krishna is fixed in truth. And Satyam Atra Pratishtitam. And truth is, he is actually situated in Krishna. Truth is actually fixed in him. And Satyat Satyam Cha Govinda. Satya Satyam Cha Govinda means, Chakravartipad says that Krishna is more truthful than truth itself. Or he gives another meaning that Krishna is the source of all the truths. And therefore, Tasmat Satyohi Namataha. Therefore, he is called as Satya. So therefore, when we talk about this quality of Krishna being truthful, and if Krishna had promised that he would return to Vrindavan, so therefore he must have returned to Vrindavan. And another nature of Krishna's qualities is that, in the first canto, in the conversation between Mother Earth and Dharma personified, Mother Earth describes the different qualities of Krishna. The reason for my distress is that, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is having all these qualities, has disappeared from this world. And she gives a list of qualities. And after giving the list of qualities, she says that, Yete chanye cha Bhagavan nitya yatra mahaguna. Nitya yatra mahaguna means, all these qualities are present in Krishna eternally. And then she says that, Na vyantisma karihichit. And these qualities, they do not disappear in Krishna at any time, even during the annihilation. So, one may say, like, different people in this world, people also have different qualities. But then, sometimes those qualities disappear in different personalities. And they may forget those, they may fail to exhibit those qualities at a certain point of time. But in the case of Krishna, Krishna never fails to exhibit these qualities. So therefore, the devotees definitely who have faith in the integrity of the personality of Krishna, and they definitely have faith that Krishna must have returned to Vrindavan. Krishna must have returned to Vrindavan. But the acharyas explained, but what is the ultimate reason, what is the real reason for Krishna returning to Vrindavan? Is it that Krishna wanted to prove that he is a moralist? I made a promise, I will return to Vrindavan. Or is it that Krishna wanted to actually, Krishna wanted to prove that he is a good person? Is it that he wanted to prove that he is a gentle person? Or is it that he wanted to prove that he is a protector of the surrendered souls? For what reason did Krishna return to Vrindavan? So for that, the acharyas say that the ultimate reason that why Krishna returned to Vrindavan is that, is because of this particular quality, which is, I think, the 40th quality described by Rupa Goswami, 40th, I forget the number, which is called as the Prema Vashyata, that is, Krishna is conquered by the love of the devotees. So that Krishna ultimately returned to Vrindavan not to prove that he is truthful, but he returned to Vrindavan because he was conquered by the love of the Vrajavasis. And when we talk about this pastime of Krishna returning to Vrindavan, so when you read the verses of the Bhagavatam, you don't find a single verse in the, you don't find verse in the Bhagavatam which describes that Krishna returned to Vrindavan. Whereas, that there are different proofs which have been given by the acharyas that Krishna returned to Vrindavan. Like Rupa Goswami has described in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita that Krishna did return to Vrindavan after killing Dantavakra. And Sanatan Goswami has described in his commentary on this chapter that Krishna did return to Vrindavan after killing Dantavakra. And Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu there also he gives evidence when he describes the Vatsalya Rasa that Krishna returned to Vrindavan. And also in the Jiva Goswami, in the Gopal Champu, he describes in 9 chapters, it gives an elaborate description of Krishna returning to Vrindavan, the what pastimes he performed in Vrindavan for 2 months that he describes in great detail in the Gopal Champu. And Padma Puran Uttarakhanda describes Krishna's return to Vrindavan after the killing of Dantavakra. So there are so many evidences are given in the other scriptures about Krishna returning to Vrindavan after killing Dantavakra. But when you read the verses of the Bhagavatam, after killing Dantavakra, if you read the verses of the Bhagavatam, you don't find actually Krishna, there is a description of Krishna returning to Vrindavan. So at this point, like, I think I heard in one of the classes, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj also explained in Pune Yatra, and Gopi Paradhan Rao also explained, that when the Acharyas have written so many books, like Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, or different other books, and all these books were written by the Acharyas, they were not written by the Acharyas as a competition to Bhagavatam, whereas all these books were actually emanations from the Bhagavatam. Whatever books I have mentioned, Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu or Gopal Champu, all these books contain Krishna's return to Vrindavan, but whereas Bhagavatam does not contain Krishna's return to Vrindavan. But all these books written by the Acharyas, they are all emanating from the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's what Maharaj explained in a Pune Yatra class. They were not written in competition to Srimad Bhagavatam, they were all emanating from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Then one may get the question, if all these books are emanating from the Srimad Bhagavatam, if all these books contain description of Krishna's return to Vrindavan, how come that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we don't find description of Krishna's return to Vrindavan? Well, if it is emanating from Srimad Bhagavatam, it should be there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So why do we not find that description? So for that, the Acharya's Vishnu Chakotipad explains, actually, there is mention of Krishna's return to Vrindavan even in the Srimad Bhagavatam. But there is only a very faint or indirect mention of Krishna's returning to Vrindavan. And for that, he quotes this verse from the first canto, 11th chapter, and Krishna returned to Dwaraka. The Dwarakavasis tell Krishna, Yarhi Ambujakshasha Sasasora Bobavan Kurun Madun Vata Sukhrut Didrikshaya. Dwarakavasis tell to Krishna that whenever you go to visit the Kurus and the Madhus, one moment in separation from you appears like a yuga for us. So there, in this particular verse, Vishnu Chakotipan says that this particular verse is an indication that Krishna did return to Vrindavan. So how is it? So in this verse, the two words come, Kurun and Madun. So Kuru refers to the Kurus. There is definitely mention of the Bhagavatam that Krishna met the Pandavas in Indraprastha. But Madhu can refer to the Mathura Vasis or it can refer to the Vrajavasis. But the Acharya is explained, but here the word Madun does not refer to the Mathura Vasis, but it refers to the Vrajavasis because Krishna had transported all the Mathura Vasis to Dwaraka when Jarasandha and Kalevan had actually attacked Mathura. So therefore, because all the Mathura Vasis were transported to Dwaraka, here the word Madun cannot refer to the Mathura Vasis, it must refer to the Vrajavasis. So that means, this verse gives an indication that Krishna did return to Vrindavan. So this is the explanation given by the Acharyas. So then one may get the question that, okay, Srimad Bhagavatam, there is mention of Krishna returning to Vrindavan, but then is such an indirect mention. There is no mention of Krishna actually, because Krishna returned to Vrindavan and stayed there for 2 months, and Jiva Goswami has described in 9 lengthy chapters of the pastimes Krishna performed in Vrindavan. And Shukadeva Goswami All these pastimes are described in the Padma Puran, and Shukadeva Goswami is well aware of these pastimes. And why did Shukadeva Goswami not describe these pastimes in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when he is well aware of these pastimes? So for that, it's explained that, as Maharaj explained on Sunday, that Shukadeva Goswami, just before that reason, like, we have to consider, like, Shukadeva Goswami is a person, he is actually a devotee of Vrindavan. He is actually the personal parrot of Srimati Radharani. And like, for him to describe the pastimes of Krishna returning to Vrindavan, it is definitely a source of great jubilation. In fact, when Shukadeva Goswami is describing the Rasa Panchadhyay, when Krishna had left the association of the gopis, and the gopis were actually crying in separation from Krishna, and then finally when Krishna returned to meet the gopis, so there Shukadeva Goswami speaks a verse, Tasam Avirabhut Shauri Smayamana Mukambuja. So that means, he says that Krishna, with a broad smile, he returned to the gopis wearing the Pitambara Darashragvi, bearing the Pitambara cloths and the different ornaments, he returned to the gopis. So there, Shukadeva Goswami speaks this verse out of anger towards Krishna. And that anger towards Krishna is expressed by Shukadeva Goswami because he uses the word Shauri to describe Krishna. Because Shauri is a word which describes that Krishna as a Kshatriya. So Shukadeva Goswami was thinking that, oh, because Krishna is a Kshatriya, Krishna is born in a Kshatriya Kula, therefore he is hard-hearted. He did not understand the pain which the gopis were going through. So therefore, Shukadeva Goswami, because he is hard-hearted by nature, therefore he returned after a long time. So therefore, Shukadeva Goswami expresses his anger towards Krishna because he was feeling that, oh, Krishna gave so much of pain to the gopis by staying away for a long time. So Shukadeva, why I am quoting this verse is that to show that how Shukadeva Goswami has great attachment to the devotees of Vrindavan, and he was very angry towards Krishna because Krishna actually left the gopis. So for Shukadeva Goswami to describe the pastime of Krishna returning to Vrindavan, personally also it would be a great source of pleasure. Although it would be a great source of ecstasy and pleasure for Shukadeva Goswami, why did Shukadeva Goswami not describe this pastime in the Srimad Bhagavatam? So that is the question. The question is the answer is that Shukadeva Goswami understood that Parikshit Maharaj, although I am a devotee of Vrindavan, I would like to describe this pastime of Krishna returning to Vrindavan, but Parikshit Maharaj is a devotee who is more attached to the Vrishnis. He is more attached to the Vrishnis. And later, I would have to describe this pastime of the annihilation of the Yadu dynasty, who actually disappeared from this world in an inauspicious manner, through a fratricidal war. And when I describe that pastime, and suppose if I describe this pastime of Krishna returning to Vrindavan, and Krishna sending all the Vrajavasis to the spiritual world in their self-same bodies, and later when I describe the pastime of annihilation of Yadu dynasty, Parikshit Maharaj would be thinking that, why did Krishna actually deal with the Vrishnis in an unfair manner, whereas he sent the Vrajavasis in their self-same bodies to the spiritual world? So Parikshit Maharaj would get a doubt in the character of Krishna. Oh, Krishna is so partial to the Vrajavasis, and he did not show such mercy to the Vrishnis. So in order that Parikshit Maharaj does not get that doubt, because if he gets that doubt, he cannot completely focus on Krishna. He just has few hours to live. He just has few days to live. And so Shukadeva Goswami was more concerned with Parikshit Maharaj's Krishna consciousness in order to not create unnecessarily a doubt in Parikshit Maharaj. So therefore he suppressed his personal ecstasy of describing Krishna's coming back to Vrindavan and uniting with the Vrajavasis. So therefore, like Radha Gopinath was explaining in a class that, so there are four levels of a teacher. The first level of teacher is that one who actually loves the subject matter, one who loves the subject matter, that's the first level of a teacher. And second level of a teacher is that not only love the subject matter, but he actually loves to teach the subject matter. And the third level of teacher is that one who not only loves to teach, but he actually loves the students. But the fourth level of teacher is that although not only he loves the subject matter, not only loves to teach, not only he loves the students, but he is always in the mood of a student. So Shukdev Goswami, we can see how Shukdev Goswami, he is a person who loves the subject matter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, because it is described that Atma Ramascha Munayo Nirgrantha Api Urukrame. I think another verse in the second canto, first chapter, I forget the verse, but Shukadeva Goswami says that I am the proof that the pastimes of Krishna is sweeter than the bliss of Brahman realization. And this verse, Atma Ramascha Munayo, although even those who are completely self-satisfied, even they become attracted to the qualities of Krishna. So Shukadeva Goswami, till the second chapter, I am the proof that the pastimes of Krishna are sweeter than the bliss of Brahman realization. That means Shukadeva Goswami loved the subject matter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And definitely he loved it to teach Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Rupa Goswami says that different personalities perfected by different processes. Further he says Shukadeva Goswami perfected by speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. And Shukadeva Goswami loved the student Parikshit Maharaj. And that is exhibited in this particular verse. Because Shukadeva Goswami did not narrate the pastime of Krishna returning to Vrindavan. Because out of love for Parikshit Maharaj. So here we understand that Shukadeva Goswami's love for Parikshit Maharaj, the student, is higher than the subject of Krishna returning to Vrindavan. That means the concern for the student that has superseded his particular affection towards describing this pastime of Krishna meeting the Vrajavasis. And so therefore that in once Jananiyas Prabhu was telling that sometimes Nityanand Prabhu was actually sharing this. So he was saying that I have to read so many all these Sanskrit, so many subjects in the Sanskrit which are not directly related with Krishna consciousness, which are related with so many grammar and technical things like Mimamsa and different Sanskrit grammar, different rules. You don't find direct Krishna conscious stuff. And so how do I actually approach this like that? He asked Jananiyas Prabhu. And Jananiyas Prabhu said, sometimes we have to be Krishna unconscious for the sake of others' Krishna consciousness. That means what he said is like, sometimes you have to, like there are certain activities which may not be directly Krishna conscious. Like we may have to be Krishna unconscious for the sake of facilitating others' Krishna consciousness. You have to read all these things just so that later you can actually translate other books of the acharyas which are directly related with Krishna consciousness for the sake of the devotees. So similarly, there are other services which may involve, may not be directly hearing and chanting, we may have to involve, which may involve more dealing with the material energy, but for the sake of others' Krishna consciousness. So in the same way, here Shukadeva Goswami, although personally for him, to describe the pastime of Krishna returning to Vrindavan would be a source of great ecstasy for him. But he became Krishna unconscious for the sake of Parikshit Maharaj's Krishna consciousness. It's like, even during the Ras Panchayadhyay, Shukadeva Goswami refrained from speaking the name of Srimati Radharani because he felt that if he speaks the name of Srimati Radharani, he would go into ecstasy and that he would not be able to continue the service. So we can see this particular quality of Shukadeva Goswami coming out here. And finally, that so this particular meeting of Krishna with the Vrajavasis, Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, when he describes Vatsalya Rasa, he mentions there are three types of meeting with Krishna with the Vrajavasis. So one is, he tells that Siddhi means when a devotee meets Krishna for the first time in his life, so that is called as Siddhi. And second meeting is called as Tushti, that is when a devotee meets Krishna after a long separation, and then when he meets Krishna for some time, so that is called as Siddhi. That is called as Tushti. And the third meeting is called as Sthiti. Sthiti means constant meeting. That means when a devotee, after being separated from Krishna, and when he gets united with Krishna and remains with Krishna constantly, and that is called as Sthiti. Of course, I'm sure all the subject matters are beyond our realization, but this is is given by the Acharyas, and I'm just trying to speak this in relation to this pastime. So the third meeting is called as Krishna, devotees meeting with Krishna and remaining with Krishna constantly. And Rupa Goswami, and for as an example for Sthiti, he quotes this particular pastime of Krishna meeting the Vrajavasis after killing Dantavakra, and then along with the Vrajavasis, he goes back to Golok Vrindavan. And he mentions this in the... So Jiva Goswami has given this commentary and elaborately on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 3.4.76. So as an example for Sthiti, the constant meeting of the devotees with Krishna. But one lesson which I want to mention, which can be more relevant to the sadhakas, according to this particular pastime, is that the call of duty versus the call of love. So, in the case of Krishna, after Uddhava returned from Vrindavan, Uddhava requested Krishna to actually return to Vrindavan. But Krishna did not return to Vrindavan at that time. And even Balramji also, after returning from Vrindavan, he requested Krishna to return to Vrindavan. Balramji also persuaded Krishna, but Krishna did not return to Vrindavan at that time also. And when Krishna met the Vrajavasis in Kurukshetra, the Vrajavasis, they pleaded with Krishna to come back to Vrindavan. So that time also Krishna did not return to Vrindavan, because still there were many demons which Krishna had to kill. So Krishna had on one side there was the calling of love, and another side there was a calling of duty. So in the case of Krishna, the duty was to establish dharma, which involves actually killing the different demons. And because Dantavakra was the last demon which Krishna, who would be killed by Krishna personally, so with the killing of Dantavakra, that the calling of duty as nonsense ended. So therefore Krishna actually returned to Vrindavan, and he sent the Vrajavasis to the spiritual world. So in the same way, your devotee may have a calling of love and a calling of duty, but when to respond to the calling of love and when to respond to the calling of duty. So the point is that Krishna did not escape his duties in order to respond to the calling of love. He had the love of the Vrajavasis within his heart all the time, and he performed his duty of establishing dharma, and then after killing the last demon Dantavakra, then he responded to the calling of love. And we find this principle being followed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also in his Leela. That when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after taking initiation from Ishwarpuri, he immediately wanted to actually, started running towards Mathura Vrindavan. But that time he actually heard a voice from the sky. The demigods told, "Oh, this is not the time for you to go to Vrindavan. You have to perform so many other tasks." Just like Narada Muni came and reminded Krishna after killing Keshi demon that you have to come out of Mathura and you have to kill so many demons. So similarly, the demigods actually reminded Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that you cannot go to Vrindavan right now. You have so many other, you have to start the Sankirtan movement and you have to come back, you have to go to Navadvip. They reminded Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then later, we see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after the completion of his South India Yatra, then when he comes back to Jagannath Puri, so there is a beautiful verse, I will conclude this verse. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he comes to Jagannath Puri, he tells Kashi Mishra, so Kashi Mishra was giving different arrangements for all the devotees to stay in different places. At that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Sei gara amake deha ache prayojana nibrute vasiyataha karibe smarana. And he says that, please give that room to me, for I have a need for it. Indeed, I shall remember the lotus feet of the Lord sitting in that solitary place. So when Prabhupada actually writes in this verse, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying that nibrute vasiyataha. That means that please give a room for me so that I shall sit down there in a solitary place and remember the lotus feet of the Lord. So there, like Prabhupada writes a beautiful purport. So he says that neophyte devotees should not actually imitate Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Haridas Thakur by sitting down in a solitary place and doing bhajan. So one should understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Haridas Thakur, they are in the position of an acharya. Only an exalted person like Haridas Thakur or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is personally exhibiting the proper behavior of an acharya, can engage in such a practice. And then he explains that, he quotes Saraswati Thakur's that famous bhajan, Pratishtare, that one should not sit in a solitary place and do bhajan just to actually attract the name and fame of the different people. And then he says that, although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the supreme personality of Godhead, but in order to teach us a lesson, he travelled all over India continuously for 6 years, and only then he retired at Jagannath Puri. That means, like, he responded to the call of duty as a sannyasi. Like, his dharma was to actually travel everywhere and preach. After performing that calling of duty, then he returned to Jagannath Puri, and then he retired at Jagannath Puri. And even at Jagannath Puri, the Lord chanted the Hare Krishna Mahamantra in great meetings at the Jagannath temple. The point is that one should not imitate Haridas Thakur at the beginning of one's transcendental life. One must first become very mature in devotion and thus receive the approval of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Only at such a time may one actually sit down peacefully in a solitary place to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And then finally, Prabhupada explains that preaching work is meant for the advanced devotees, and when an advanced devotee is further elevated on the devotional scale, he may retire to chant the Hare Krishna mantra in a solitary place. So therefore, so in this way we see that, I felt this somewhat a parallel between Krishna Leela and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that how just like Krishna responded to the calling of love after responding to the calling of duty, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, after responding to the calling of duty, after performing his sannyas dharma, then he retired at Jagannath Puri. And even in Jagannath Puri, he would actually chant in the great meetings, and so Prabhupada explains here. So, I think I would end here, since it's, I think, 9:25. वृंतना श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय गौरव भक्त वृंद की जय